שלום לכם, תודה שאתם מצטרפים אלינו.
Hello and thanks for joining us on the New Life Show with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, hello. Nita Mazoz, hello. Hello. And today we'd like to talk about communication between siblings in a family with small children. We're parents, we have children, some smaller, some more grown up. But today what we'd like to learn is how to use our home as a home laboratory to develop the ability of each of our children to communicate correctly with other people that they will meet all throughout life. Let's say that we're starting with children under the age of 10, and how do we build the communication between them? Nitza, please. I think maybe we'll start from the end. The greatest contentment that a parent can have is when the children get along. Really, there's a feeling that we did the right thing, that we probably brought them up correctly. When the children know how to connect and support one another and love each other, and really, there's a feeling of together. But in order for that to happen, in some point in time, you have to start building that from early age. Another thing I'd like to add is, because what I said was probably true 150 years ago, and today too. What's added today, actually, is that parents or we, people who are aware of it, we're aware that the world is headed toward more connection, communication, and we do understand that a part of our role as parents is to build a kind of group, mini team out of them, that this will give them tools to better deal with life in the future. There's an added value here. And this is what we'd like to focus on today. So, first of all, how would you define good communication between siblings? I think that you can define it in simple terms, that it is a sense of family, a sense of siblings, a sense of support, a commitment that comes from nature, because we are brothers, siblings, and that we feel a connection and a commitment because this is what our parents are expecting of us, to behave in this way, that eventually, in our world, we have no closer people, more committed by nature than we are between us. Siblings, on the one hand. On the other hand, we learn, see, feel how many problems there are around us. Because where, on the one hand, there is closeness, blood ties, so to speak, that come from nature. Also, from nature, there's a kind of, or by nature, there's a kind of competition, rejection, envy. And here, we also have to work on our human nature in order to arrange all of these natural inclinations that by nature we're brothers, and in terms of corporeal nature, that we feel that we are in rejection, hate, that we're competing. And it's not a matter, and it's not the parents that didn't bring us up properly, but it's something that's rooted in us by nature, that there's both hate and love. in our root. That this is probably something that comes to us from the structure of reality, from the structure of human society, that if there are two people, then between them, there is also a source of connection and a source for hate. Because eventually, all of us are human beings. And there's one root between us, which is Adam. And therefore, all of us are as if brothers. Only this root of ours is very far away from us, on the one hand. On the other hand, if we nonetheless take this into account, then from this root we can build a new mankind, a new society. That the root, it exists one way or another. So, this is the question. This root, according to which we are siblings, under the same mother and father that raised us, brought us up, educated us, etc. This root, is this root obligating? Does it obligate us on the one hand? On the other hand, is our natural, distant root, where all of us are human beings, literally in Hebrew, meaning Bnei Adam, the sons of Adam, the sons of our ancient father Adam. And that doesn't compel us to anything. So we see that neither determines anything, neither of these. And it all depends on the measure to which we can develop the matter. Meaning, it's a matter of education. Previously, you mentioned that when children are born, they're born built in with the hate, competition, the ability to cooperate. There's a thing and it's opposite all the time. And, well, first of all, as a parent, you said, you cleared me of, you know, any of blaming myself. You said that this is how they're born. Fine, that's good. So how do we work with this? Is this a kind of proficiency that a parent can acquire of how to correctly use all of these qualities and opposites that are built in a child? And therefore the question does it really depend on the parents there could be a good interaction, good communication between brothers? To what extent is it dependent on the parents? Dr. Lightman, it depends on the environment. We see that the simpler the environment, the more primitive, natural it is, then there is a stronger connection between the house members, between parents and children, between siblings. And it happens in all times, in all nations. Whereas, if the family grows distant from its basis, foundation, and it no longer has the kind of connection like there were in ancient previous times, then people, the connection between them becomes blurred. Maybe it's not the people themselves, but society. And what follows is that we no longer feel committed to each other, that we're interdependent, and altogether, what is going on? My brother, he's of a different age, he goes to a different grade, he has friends of his own, and our parents treat him and me differently because society demands each to be treated differently, and we have nothing in common. where we don't go out and milk cows or take care of the horses or chicken. We don't work together in our field, but each of us has his own games, his own group of friends. And so we don't feel the interdependence, our mutual commitment. And also when my parents tell me that you have to care for him, he's your brother, I don't feel that he's close to me, that the children that I play with outside or at school or wherever, that they're more important to me. I feel them more. I'm more with them. Meaning there is a serious distortion in our perception of reality, because once we were all around the house and the household and all that goes on there, and when you already reach the ages of 3, 4, 5, you already start working in the household, taking care of domestic animals and working in the field and so on. We felt that we depend on it, that we're working together in a factory called our household, and that all of us have to make our own food and take care of what is going on. Suppose against different attacks of nature, rain, things like that. Today, I don't have that. Today, we're not committed to each other. And therefore, that we're not so interdependent, then we also don't have that much of a connection. The ego of each of us does not show the other that how dependent on our relatives we are. Nitza. So nowadays, where things have changed so much and moved away from how they naturally were, how important is communication between siblings today, Dr. Lightman? Today, for now, there's no commitment, and there's no need, and there's no connection, and we're not sure that they'll even help me, these ties, connection with my siblings, because each of them has a family and children and a household of their own and a career and everything. Today, no. We barely send an SMS. And if we meet, then it's at weddings or the other way around. If I understand what you're saying, that we are growing away from the natural ties that we used to have between siblings in the nuclear family, and there's no point in hoping that it'll change. The relations will only cool down and will feel less and less interdependent. So our discussion is even more important. Let's clothe in the situation. A house, two parents are listening to what you're saying. They understand the direction in which things are developing, where on the one hand, the most natural ties are cooling down. On the other hand, we're living in the world where that has become more interconnected, that the ties between people are closing us in this big network of interdependence, and we have three children at home under the age of 10, but you can already start talking to them, suppose 5, 7, 9, something like that, three children, and we would like to build our home like a laboratory that will start weaving special ties between them that will adjust them to the world that is awaiting them in 5, 10, 20 years. Meaning, we want to start building the communication between them, not the way it naturally goes and cools down, but we want to build something else consciously. So first of all, in today's reality, if I could build the correct relations between brothers, as long as they're at home under me, what picture can I depict that would be considered successful? Dr. Leitman, you have to depict to yourself human development. Since the days, since way back then and to this day, that development as a whole is based on the fact that the ego in each and every person is going and growing and developing, and to that extent, a person feels lonelier, alone, on his own, not dependent on others, not wanting to be dependent on others. If he has no choice, then okay, he needs them, but actually he doesn't want to. He wants to be only self-sufficient, relying only on himself, because the ego is the desire that develops simply pushes him away from others. And therefore, I don't think that we have the ability to work against nature, against such an evolution. Of course, here and there is some kind of commitment, and it's not customary that, it's not habitual that just so I'll cause, suppose, harm to my relatives. But, you know, it's customary, it's not that. So we can't work against nature. Each of us, from one day to the next, from generation to generation, is becoming more egoistic, meaning not being able to feel any kind of closeness to their siblings, and not even to their parents. If once it was really holy, mom and dad, that I fear them, I bow to them, for me, they were everything. Today, the attitude is different. We all know. And all the more between siblings, and therefore, bring people closer together won't happen. We won't go into this because, to begin with, it's destined to fail. And therefore, there's not much that we can do but to correctly explain the truth to everyone that exists and that comes from nature. And how can we nonetheless correctly use all the laws of nature and the ability to come closer? Upon this, upon the distancing, and nonetheless build such ties that will help us be human. Connections that are based on love, connection, mutual commitment, interdependence, and all these things that you'd like to talk to me about, I can't because it's not happening. Oh, no, it's obvious that it's not happening. What's crumbling away, we're familiar with it ourselves. The question is, how is it possible to start working with this figure? The figure that I understand is that my cute little children, I have to take into account that the more they grow, the bigger ego each of them will have, and it will disconnect them from the others. He won't want to take anyone into consideration but himself. Will it be expressed at the ages of 5, 7, 9, etc., Dr. Leitman? Of course, because we live in a society in which each of these ages has a different environment. Once there was your home, your backyard, domestic animals, maybe a few neighbors, and that was his world. But, oh, and so at home, I have three young fellows that have, each of them has a big ego, and so do we have to talk to them about it for each of them to understand that they have a big ego and that's why they can't be in some kind of mutuality with others? Should we put it on the table? At home? Should it be something that we talk about? Dr. Lightman, yeah, that we talk about, because it's a problem. It is a force that acts in everyone, and we have to learn how to work with it properly, correctly, because eventually the closeness between us, some kind of consent about mutual help between us can really help us in life. Nitsa, as you were talking, I felt that what the growing ego does is that it makes you lose your feeling of closeness, that we're close to anyone in this world, not to our siblings, to our parents, to no one. This feeling that you've described, I don't even know how to really feel it. I see how it's working. I suppose that children pay dearly for this feeling that you're describing, for this phenomena that of their growing ego, etc., where they're not connected anymore. But I'm asking myself further, how can I help siblings, my children, to feel closer together, that they belong to each other, because for sure I know that this will give them a sense of confidence in life, tools to deal with life. When a person's, you know, alone, it's a disaster. Dr. Lightman, do you have some kind of incentive, some reason, as to how do you activate, operate this non-existent connection? Nitsa, my incentive as a parent is, first of all, that I want to give him a feeling that he belongs to something, that he is a part of something bigger. Dr. Lightman, so if we translate it into normal, simple language, you want to show him that he's gaining as a result of his connection with them. He'd say, yeah, that he's not disconnected, that he has like this safety belt. Dr. Lightman, a certain profit gain as a result of his connection to his relatives. Okay, so we have to talk about it in the family. We have to somehow nurture it, maybe do some exercises that what the one can't do, the other can do instead of him. What one can do, two might, or three, or the entire family together. Meaning, we need to establish these kinds of exercises in the family that will teach us how good it is that we help each other, are aided by one another. Nitsa, is there some small exercise that I can do in my family with children of the ages 5, 7, 9, something like that? Dr. Layton, I don't know. Suppose today is Sunday, so we're all taking care of our brother Owen. And Owen, he as if needs our help. What we'll do instead of him? Monday, we take care of someone else. Tuesday, someone else. Something like that. It's not, you know, something that I'm really engaged in, but maybe to do something like that, meaning to show how in different situations that mutual help, mutual support can be very effective, beneficial to the lives of each and everyone. Nitsa, by the way, when a parent, you know, he sees siblings fighting, he takes from her, she's beating him. You know, it's a broad subject, but suddenly I start understanding that there is some kind of connection, at least. They're fighting, but there's contact. What's the right attitude in relation to quarrels between brothers. Dr. Lightman, the right attitude is that a quarrel isn't like any other quarrel with any stranger, that I break all of our ties and orient myself to the detriment of that person from now on. But here, it's in a completely different framework. There are completely different boundaries that I nonetheless keep the connection. And it's like we punish children, that even though that on the one hand we punish them, on the other hand, we talk about correction, we talk about that we want to come closer and not move away as a result. Oh, and final question. You mentioned that between siblings, there is a source of hate and a source of love. And from a broader point of view, the source of love and hate exists altogether between all two people, no matter who. It's like two opposites. They're very intense. They have great force, power. How do you create such a connection where you take these two opposites and build something out of them? What is the foundation for a connection between opposites? Dr. Lightman, just like we came from one upper force, in our connection, we have to be drawn to that upper force. And only then can we find in our proper connection the correct solution. This connection, will it also include the source of moving away and coming closer together, even though these are two opposite trends? Dr. Lightman, of course. Then we will understand how the egoistic nature is showing us all the time that we're distanced from one another. This will force us to work on our connection. Oh, beautiful. Even though that each has a big ego that pushes him away from others, Dr. Lightman, this is called helpmate against him. Oh, and it can help. It can help how? What can this big ego that pushes us away from each other, how can it build a different kind of communication between us? Dr. Lightman, it shows us the state that we're in, that it's negative, and how can we correct it, complete it? Oh, and would it be true to say that just like the ego is pushing us away, then this is also the potential intensity of the future connection? Dr. Lightman, of course, that's why it's called helpmate against him. That even though that it seems that it's as if against, but it helps us actually connect. Oh, and so the connection that siblings will create today will be different than in the past. Dr. Lightman, let them act out that we hate each other, and how can we actually love each other? Let's play around with these two forces in each of us. Oh, and can you elaborate a bit about the game? We'll do it at home today. Can you define it, Dr. Lightman? That we need to act out, to play, how each of us rises above his ego and trying to come closer to the other in order to awaken in the other love instead of hate. And the measure to which they can be in that kind of competition, how successful can they be toward each other? Thank you very much, Dr. Lightman. Unfortunately, our time's up, Dr. Lightman. Yeah, and from this point on, Nitza, who is an expert in communication, will build it for us. These exercises. Good luck. Thank you very much. Thank you, Nitza. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, all the best.